I do want to record this.
40K2.
40K. Yeah.
Welcome to Sit Sock,
Sit
everyone.
Sock.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick.
And I'm Joe.
Pausing to put his sunglasses on because I wear them at night.
It's true. Doo-doo-doo. He frequently runs into things.
Yeah, you think I would know by now, but I don't.
You know who else wears their sunglasses at night?
Corey Hart.
Orcs.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Because they're really cool.
Yeah. They do.
So, we left off talking about how humanity is a thing.
Yep. Hold on.
I think we left off.
We're doing this. Hold on.
Everyone's
keep talking.
Kendrick is now getting out of the car.
Bailed.
He's dead.
He's literally bailed.
The car
is slowly.
So we kind of left off with the, I can't remember what you signed off at.
We signed off with that there's no good guys.
There's no good guys.
Was that in the grim darkness of the 41st millennium, there is only war. There is no real moral good. There's only evil things. That was the,
some people,
that guy's hand gesture some, indicated he was going. That's the hand gesture you do when you're going. That's a thank you wave, you son of a fucking whore.
Infuriated because a meeting that happened, and that's understandable.
Right, yeah. But I mean, seriously, when someone waves with their hand outstretched and their fingertips up, that means thank you, I'm going.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you go. You go is fingers outstretched pointing away
that's
from
true.
You. Fucking learn hand gestures, you dick.
Basic human hand gestures. Anyway, there's no race in 40K that's really bad or good. It's just that some of them seem bad relative to human morality.
Well, there's also ones that thrive on inflicting pain and misery on people.
Yeah, but that's only because you don't like that.
Yeah,
no, the whole point is that you're not supposed to like it. They only want to do things to you that you don't want.
From my perspective,
the Dark Eldar,
the Jedi are evil.
But I mean, the Dark Eldar specifically want to make your life what you don't want it to be.
Sure.
And that's where they thrive on.
Dark Eldar were elves. Humans, this is probably a recap because it's going to be a week on for you guys. It's just a day for us.
Not even a day.
Humans just are the Imperium, made up of the Imperium. We didn't really dig in the Space Marines because I don't really talk about them, but we can later.
I'll talk about them.
We talked about Tau.
And, yeah, we touched on that briefly.
And now we're going to talk about, Chaos a little bit.
We died today.
A little bit, yeah.
And then let's get into orcs, because we were talking about orc stuff right as we got out of the car. That was really cool.
The greenskins.
The greenskins. Space, green also known best. As space orcs.
Space
O-R-K-Z. Orcs. Yeah, some people call them space orcs because right. they want to. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. Excuse me.
Don't really quite get why that is, but whatever.
Because there's orcs in fantasy in space.
Okay, and those are different.
They're actually very different. But
yeah, so like
they didn't seem all that different, but I know very little about fantasy. So.
Maybe they all the orcs on the fantasy world.
I know I'm
ignorant
about this topic, but I believe this.
Did land on
I flipped Joe off the statement.
Did land on the fantasy world in a moss pod or whatever the fucking orcs use
really?
To procreate. I'm speculating. We're just saying random
shit
right now,
the
right?
Orcs, okay, are we going to talk about the origin of the orcs?
No, we're talking about orcs. Like
no, the origin of the orc race in 40K.
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
So actually, if you're going to talk about the origin of the orc race, you should talk about Necrons first.
Okay, let's do that.
Which means you have to talk about the Catan, Satan,
whatever. And then you have to talk about Imperium again. God damn it.
Tan.
Yeah.
However you want to pronounce it.
You have to build a universe.
Satan.
So there's these dudes, which are C'TAN, which were the very long-lived douche-canoe individuals that predate just about everything in Warhammer 40K. I don't know that I trust you.
What did you say?
No, Broomfield, which is where we're going, but I also... They look like hipsters or homeless people, and I don't want either of those people in my car, especially while we're recording a Sit Sock.
All right. I'm not going to get started on the implications of Roadhead, but we're talking about Satan.
My main issue right now is nothing more than the logistics of it, frankly, because there's nowhere, it would have been weird. You'd have to get out. Like, there's no way. It would, yeah. Cal's making rude and appropriate hand gestures that.
I like how they're rude. But appropriate.
Well, it's appropriate for what
they are. Okay. They are. They're appropriate. They're not inappropriate.
Anyway. Necrons. Who's doing the Necron? Talk about. Wow. Okay. That is inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I'm not even gonna try to describe what Kendrick just did with his hands.
Okay. Horrifying.
Necrons.
So there's dudes that live basically too close to the sun as it was trying to kill them and developed a whole bunch of cancer and they were all dying young, and they resented these crazy. Sort of ethereal creatures that lived forever and weren't bothered by the radiation from the sun. So rather than, like, get good, scrub, they instead decided, fuck all life. And they built a robot army of self-replicating death machines.
And they kind of made themselves into robots,
they basically
too, right?
made themselves into them because they all died.
They actually got good, just not in the way that they
became immortal by killing all life.
Yeah.
Which is sort of
some of their units are called the Immortals, and they just come back.
So the premise of the Necron is that they build themselves. They can reconstruct themselves. They're made out of a sort of sentient metal, not living metal, but a sentient metal, and they can convert things into that metal. So they kind of like other creatures, which we'll talk about. We haven't talked about the Tyranids forever. They basically want to take over planets and convert them into Necron factories, essentially.
Yep.
They are unending and undying. If you can destroy them, they just slowly reassemble, not unlike the Terminator 2.
They actually do have a kind of reference to that, because they look like that.
They kind of look like a T-1000.
They have a specific rule in the tabletop game called They'll Be Back.
Yes.
And that's when they reach
out. It's a direct acknowledgement of that. And basically what it means is you can't destroy them. They will forever come back and kill you. That's just how it is.
But for a long time in the universe, all the places where these Necrons were, everyone was basically sleeping. And it only recently
the Necrons did a good job of killing a bunch of people, and then they powered down for a while. And then in that time frame, a bunch of life has come back.
Yeah, and
so this is way old.
Now the craft worlds, that's Eldar, but the tomb worlds now awakened, and then they're all like moving across the galaxy.
So in that time frame, back before, to react against the Necrons, whose goal was to exterminate all life, which I think is really all you need to say about them. They're creepy as fuck. Sometimes they wear skin of other creatures because that's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the flayers do that. That's cool, flayed ones.
And they basically, their goal is very simple. They want to exterminate. Basically, well, it really is, they want to end all suffering. Because there actually is a slight, tiny bit of altruism, because they want to end all of the suffering in the universe and bring peace by killing everyone.
And then,
because if everybody's dead,
there's
peace and no suffering.
But they also kind of do some weird assimilation stuff too. You know, they're like, they don't just kill everything; they kind of like absorb their soul.
Yeah, types of things. And their goal is kind of, again, somewhat altruistic, in that they want to. Yeah, it's like the Borg. It's like Hindu Borg. It's a weird mix because it's like, well, yeah. Or
that's
Buddhist,
a weird
almost.
Way to think of the Necron, and I like it.
It's actually almost Buddhist, really. It's almost Buddhist Borg. Because they don't have the caste system.
Because
it's like all life is suffering. So let's just get to the chase here, kill everyone.
Yeah.
It's like that's kind of the wrong interpretation of Buddhism,
that's
and that makes people very upset. But it's, I mean, okay, go with it, man. Get on with your bad self.
Necrons are pretty crazy because they have like really advanced technology, and there's this whole like thing where a lot of the Adeptus Mechanicum is a faction of humanity that lives on Mars, and they're all like obsessed with technology. They're obsessed with like making themselves more perfect through technology.
Yeah.
So they basically are like these here tech priests and things like that. They've sacrificed their actual bodies to technology.
Yes.
They're mostly metal, mostly non-organic.
Flesh is weak.
Exactly. So theoretically, in the universe, there is the dragon that's in the center of Mars. The Chaos Dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's like one of the sleeping Satan.
It's a void dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what's living in the fucking planet of Mars, where all of our fucking like human technology basically comes out of.
And so, in a weird way, they're worshipping this thing called the Omnissiah, and some people theorize that the Omnissiah is the Void Dragon, and they're actually worshipping a Necron god.
Jumping to here. We can get back onto the Adeptus Mechanicus later, because we're talking about the Necrons to talk about the Orcs.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're describing this in lore history, which actually has been retconned several times.
Yeah, and so the Necrons, basically, they're the undead of fantasy, of the 40K universe. They kind
basically,
of like,
they're basically zombies.
Yeah.
They're robot undead.
Now, the reason I had to talk about them first is because the Orcs are a created race. This is something that actually is relatively new. It came about with the Necron expansions. The Orcs were created by, I think it was the Satan, but it might have been another race. But the idea was, because of the horrible scourge that is the Necron and their chance of wiping out all life, they created a version of life that is so resilient and unkillable that it will never be possible to completely wipe them out. That's the premise, later at least, of the Orcs.
And the Orcs basically are there.
The Orcs represent the following sentence. Life finds a way.
Yeah. They're the Ian Malcolm theorization.
Lost a couple of... life...
That's not a sentence. That's a waste of time. But yes, yeah, no, you're right. You're not wrong.
The orcs are kind of cool because the way that orc technology works is phenomenal. It's faith-based? Belief-based. They worship Mork and Gork, who are the two orc gods, and I'm parenthesis air-quoting right now.
Air parenthesis?
Because they only really are, like, there to support the orcs when there's enough orcs around for them to believe in Mork and Gork.
So it's worth mentioning again, we talked about the psychic field of the warp, right? And the effects of the Immaterium as it's experienced. The orcs have a slightly different effect in that they can directly influence the real world, because part of the power of the orcs, aside from, well, we'll talk a little bit about it, orcs grow from orc spores.
Yeah.
So anywhere an orc goes, they're just shedding these spores everywhere, and if it's left alone long enough and not burned off of the planet, it will grow into the snotlings.
Yep.
Which will then start to build things and birthing pits and all kinds of gross shit that I always imagine being similar to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but, like the Urkai and stuff like that. Yeah.
They basically are programmed, like in this genetic level, to build the framework necessary for orcs to start spawning. And then when the orcs start spawning, they eat the snotlings, which is weird. But and then there's the various different, you know, sub-orcs and smaller different classes. And this whole structure spawns up out of fucking nothing.
Gits and knobs and war bosses.
And it all comes out of nothing and junk. So their whole lives is war and death and whatever. But what it means is, in the span of a few years, a place that you thought you killed all the orcs now has a shitload of orcs in it.
And keep that in mind. It doesn't take much for an orcs to grow. And they can grow basically anywhere.
And so
that will come back to that whole spaceship thing we're talking about about the first podcast.
Yeah. Part of what works for them is that they share a psychic connection with all neighboring orcs, all orcs within a certain range.
But they don't really know it. Like, not all orcs.
No, because they're
stupid.
Orcs are astonishingly dumb.
So orcs and Tyranids are very similar in how they work, but it's just slight differences make them very different adversaries.
We'll come back.
Yeah, I just want to get into it because it basically is going
to
be like we're saying the same thing for Tyranids, but we're not.
It is because orcs are not mindless in a way a lot of Tyranids are. They're mindful.
Yeah.
They're just stupid, and they're incredibly dumb. Like orcs, they shed teeth. They grow new teeth a lot like sharks, and teeth are their currency.
Yep.
And their teeth also rot, so they have a very strange economic system where there's no concept of savings. Because your teeth will rot. And you'll punch someone in the face to rob them and steal their teeth that you can use to buy shit. It's very odd in how it comes about, but it's very brutish.
And that gets into the kind of the whole mentality is like the Luda mentality.
All their stuff for the flavor text, all of their stuff is spelled incorrectly.
It's like
abbreviated.
It's a Cockney?
It's like a Cockney, but like a Cockney with like their jaw wired. And so it all comes out as total gibberish. It's not a shooter, it's a shooter. With an apostrophe.
Or a choppa.
And a choppa. It's not a sword or an axe. They're all called choppas.
Or a rocket launcher. R-O-K-K-I-T.
And so that's part of the flavor. Now, again, I kind of want to touch on this very briefly because it's something I think is very well done in this universe is, obviously, everything is in English or whatever your language if you got it, but mostly English.
Yeah.
But they represent different languages in the universe. And they actually, I explained this, in the humans, which we'll talk about later, English represents Low Gothic. So anything that's written in English is the equivalent of Low Gothic for humans. And then anything written in Latin represents High Gothic, which is a language a lot of people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of these languages are actually English or Latin like we use them now, but rather than make up a whole fucking language that makes it impossible to play the damn game, those are the placeholders.
Yeah,
so likewise for all the other cultures, they've got names, proper names that are weird, but for the most part, the terminology used is English,
mm-hmm.
except for the orcs, who we use this bastardized nonsense to illustrate how stupid they are. They don't know anything.
It's not like a translation or anything. It's like how they talk.
Yeah,
it's
that is how their conceptualization is based off of a simplistic grammatical system. They're stupid, they're brutish, they're violent, and the whole thing about it is they're also eminently survivable and damn near indestructible, because you can kill a handful of orcs, and that's great, but while you're killing them, more are growing faster than you can kill them.
And they have their entities or units or whatever you want to call it that infect the psychic power, which would be like the Psykers in Imperium, and you got Farseers in Eldar lore, things like that, are called Weird Boys. And they are they're like the priests or shaman of orcs. Yeah, they basically
that guy over there. Super
no, they're not. They are not well liked at all. They're kind of seen as weak, but like they're not like
they're weak, but you can't seem to squish them.
Yeah, and
so that they're wrong.
And then
there's
weird. Like the mech boys who are like the technologically enhanced ones or ones that have suits. There's you know, the Gits and the Flash Gits and the Goff Knobs and, like, all of the different tiers of the society. There's the Ludas.
Those all sound like gibberish. Those are all actually things.
Yeah. There's
I would not make any of that up.
Ludas are, like, you know, there's, like, the whole orc race is based around basically cobbling technology together to get it to work.
Ramshackling,
yeah. And the whole thing that we always like to talk about with orcs is that, you know, there's a story, I guess, somewhere where an Imperial Guardsman or some other race finds a Shuda, and they're like, how the
firearm.
Does this work? Like,
And it's a tin can full of metal shavings.
He tried to fight, like, he lost his weapon, picked up an Orchuta, and tried to shoot an orc with it, and it didn't work. He, like, he pulled the trigger, and nothing happened, and he was really confused because it looked simple enough. And then, upon further investigation after the battle, they found that there doesn't seem to be any actual firing mechanism. It's just a box with a trigger on it that's been welded. And it's full of shavings and metal bits.
And so
it shouldn't work by any reason.
All of their technology is like that. It's like the chop, not the choppers, what are the helicopters called? They have a name.
Kilocopters.
The kilocopters are like the kilocans or the choppers. Everything is just cobbled together and faith makes it work.
But it's not even like faith. No, it's certainty.
Yeah.
In that it's that, oh yeah, I made a shooter. Yeah, shooters go bang. Okay. Lada daka. Daka, daka, daka.
It goes daka, daka, daka.
And so, like, if there's not enough orcs around, it doesn't work. Like, the stuff doesn't work. So, and their whole thing is, like, you know, they will take a tank, like a tank from Imperial Guard, and put bits on it and paint it red and go fast.
No, there's a good example. No, painting stuff red makes it go faster, because obviously red stuff goes faster, right?
Exactly.
But the thing that's fascinating is they do go faster. When you paint it red, it actually goes faster, because that's how it works.
So orcs are kind of this really cool race that the flavor is just so rich with orcs that it's amazing to learn about. But
it's also, there's kind of self-limiting, because as soon as an orc tribe gets big enough, they just start killing each other.
Exactly.
And infighting.
Yeah. And there's, like, different, the Bad Sons are the big orc one in a lot of games. The Bad Sons are like a big faction. Yeah. There's a lot of factions, though, and they all have really cool banners, and they're all like kind of ska punk too. They have lots of checkerboards, and
it's like, yeah, and it's all like vague. There's definitely punk elements in there, because it's all cobbled together shit. Yeah, and there's I don't know if there's rules or not, but there's a lot of people who will take other races' stuff and just paint it all fucked up and make it an orc thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, that's like commonly done. You're like, yeah, we looted this thing from some Eldar. It smells weird. I don't care. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's orcs. So let's move on to, we talked about Necrons for a little bit. We talked about orcs. So let's talk about Tyranids.
Did we really discuss Eldar at all? We talked about how they basically created a chaos.
Do you want to talk about Eldar a little more? But let's talk about Tyranids, and then we can
go to Tyranids, because Tyranids share a lot with orcs, kind of. Yeah. Tyranids were a much later addition than orcs.
Yeah, and so Tyranids are basically your Starship Trooper bugs.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Well, almost all of these things have equivalents from others.
So,
if
you want a pure equivalent, they're actually, if you play StarCraft at all, they're the Zerg.
Yeah, they are. They're Zergs.
Yeah, quite literally.
They're a straight ripoff.
They have hive ships that crash land into planets.
Zerg are a ripoff of them.
Really?
Yeah.
StarCraft was actually built and designed as a Games Workshop game.
Oh, no, you're right. That's right.
And
that's
they
different podcasts,
bailed out
but good,
and rolled
good
out, and now we have the Zerg and Terrans and Protoss instead of
Which is
Space
like
Marines
Space Marines, Marines Eldar, and Tyranids.
Yep.
So the Tyranids are cool. They basically have these hive ships, and each big faction of Tyranids for orcs, it's clans, for Tyranids, it's hives. So you have this whole hive thing where there's like different hives of Tyranids all over the galaxy. They have hive ships which crash land on the planets and just start infesting them.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah.
Gross.
And the whole thing about Tyranids is like they'll go send a bunch of stuff in to die and then figure out how it died and then change.
Yeah.
So like they'll constantly be changing themselves to be better. And you have things like gene stealers when they learn that there's places like hive worlds and stuff like that that go in and start infiltrating these huge human societies they don't want to attack right away and actually start infiltrating them. The gene stealers will like integrate themselves into these.
And not just humans, they'll steal genetic material from places.
Yes,
so like,
they are quite literally named.
Yeah, they will actually grab, you know, Eldar or Kroot or whatever they can find. Like these guys, they know what's up. They got something for this area. You know, they're not immune to this. They're immune to this atmosphere, so we'll take their lungs. And now we have their lungs. Now let's make those lungs.
Really brutal weaponry too. A lot of their like they have like bio cannons, so like big, they have creatures that literally just have huge cannons on their back to shoot down ships.
That they grew. They fucking grew.
Yep.
And the other part about it is life has no meaning to them. Survival has no meaning in the individual sense.
Yep. We talked about orcs all being psychically linked.
Yeah.
Tyranids all have a hive mind.
Yeah, but here's the thing is they don't have minds. They only have a hive mind.
Yeah.
If you kill the hive mind, you take out the whole thing.
It's very...
You take out the whole hive. Like, they're brain dead. They don't think on their own. They're like bees or ants or something.
They really? They don't keep attacking if you kill them?
I don't think they do. Well, the problem is no one's actually successfully taken down a hive mind, I think.
Well, They did, but I don't know too much about it because they stopped.
I think it's
the
kind
of hive swarm. What was it?
Jormungandr.
Was it Jormungandr?
I know they named them all after great
sea
monsters.
That basically almost destroyed McCrag, home planet of the Ultramarines, and they stopped it.
Bummer.
By destroying. Yeah, I know.
Decent amount of Cthulhu references too, because they have Yawgmarl, Gene Stealers, and things like that that are very Lovecraftian in nature.
Like they you can stop them, and if you can identify like a hive tyrant, as they're called, which controls a which controls like a small band.
Oh yeah, hive tyrant.
And if you take that out, you'll disrupt it. But the hive will sense that loss
and send more.
And send out another one.
And it's tricky because you can't think about them as individual organisms because they're not. They're one big ass organism.
With like lots of small
Of discrete parts, but they're all still they can't survive on their own. Like they might do something if you took them all out, but it's going to be flailing aimlessly because they don't know what to do. They're going to be on autopilot.
Like feral, no guidance. Doing it, but it won't have any sense.
Like if
what's
you lop a limb off of an arthropod or a non,
still flails.
It flaps around a little bit, and it might still kill you, but not to any degree.
Again, Tyranids are the newest, so there's not. I don't know too much about them. All I know is like the basic stuff.
They are. They're super new.
They're really hard to kill. They're tough as shit.
Yeah.
They have the chitinous like shells that are just dangerous. Yeah. They grow their own weapons most of the time.
Yeah, and in lore, they're unstoppable. In the game, they're a little different, but in lore, it's a scourge that's about to take over the galaxy, basically.
Yeah, it is actually. Wow.
That guy has got to be somewhere not here now. But anyway, he's going to put himself in
another kind of swarm army like the orcs. There's lots of
but I feel like since we just talked about the orcs, you got to focus on the differences. Like orcs, if you leave an orc by themselves, they're going to fuck you up.
They'll
probably just spawn more orcs.
Yeah, but like the same way. They have a mind. Yeah, they have a mind. They're stupid, but they have a mind. The Tyranids don't. But the Tyranids have this disgusting master plan where they basically bathe the planet in stomach acid and digest all of the matter that they can use out of it and pump it up to the actual hive and then move on to the next one. Yeah. It's disgusting
and
horrifying.
I think there's units too. Like, Termagants are the most hive-minded of all units in this tyranny. It's like Gene Stealers can probably work mostly on their own because they have a goal set. It just depends on the unit.
There are a couple. But for the most part, take down the top one and you've destroyed the initiative. You've ended the assault. If you kill the biggest orc, all they're going to be like is, well, now I'm the biggest orc. So just fuck you. You can't stop them. The only thing you might do is break up the warband so that they end up fighting each other for who's going to be top dog.
Yeah.
But then in 10 minutes, that'll be over, and they're going to go back to killing you again because that's what they fucking do.
But both races will, if you don't kill them all off of a planet, will reinfest the planet.
Yes.
Very dangerous things. Because if you don't kill off the spore chimneys, you don't kill off the similar thing that orcs use to just birth themselves.
You need to,
stuff's bad.
Exterminatus
the planet.
Yeah. Which means burn it to the ground.
Yeah. It sucks when that starts to happen on, say, a Forge world.
Yeah, and then they're like, I guess we
start making calls at that point.
Yeah, and then you're like, I guess we just have to deal with orcs for the rest of forever now. Yep. Every now and again, just, they'll
certain
pop up.
Planets have more strategic value.
I also have to say, though, what's weird is with most of the video games that have come out with 40K lore, the orcs are always they're always the starting problem. It's like, oh, this planet's being overrun by orcs. But there's always something else behind it.
Right. They're basically a nuisance. They're a pest.
They're a nuisance that needs to be dealt with, and if they get out of hand, it can be a problem. But there's always, somebody else masterminding some bullshit.
Kicking
a Tyranid swarm. Or a fucking chaos world.
That's one of the things I like about the orcs is they're basically a nuisance.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, everybody knows how to kill them. They're easily killable, but they just don't go away.
The problem
is
that it's like, they are nuisance, but even to the people who think they're using orcs. Like, even in the Space Marine game, that orc mega knob is like, keeps coming back over and over again.
Yeah.
Even though he's being attacked by bloodletters, and you're like, Jesus, does this thing ever die? Like, it's the right answer because they basically believe welded metal onto their bodies and
In his mind, he can't die, and in all their minds, he can't die. So guess what? He can't die.
And even like the mega knobs are still ones that can mostly function if they're by themselves because they just have so much belief in themselves.
They're so big.
Did we address the fact that they actually get physically larger?
Yeah.
They are
like Hulks.
Some of the biggest orcs are.
Like,
I mean, the
dreadnought size.
Yeah,
the biggest one is Ghazghul Magor.
And how tall is he in feet? Roughly meters,
like,
whatever.
In
how many orcs high is he?
Like
some unit
four.
So he's like 30 feet tall.
Yeah.
Which is like probably an orc taller than a dreadnought, actually. Four orcs tall.
Well,
like,
we haven't really talked about dreadnoughts.
Dreadnoughts are, sorry. That's not good.
I mean, he's like several cars stacked on top of each other. He's a huge fucking
dude.
You
see him on the battlefield and you're like, oh.
Yeah, you see him from not on the battlefield. You're not on the battlefield that you see him on the battlefield. Because you're like, look at that guy over there.
This is an interesting point to move on to Imperial Guard. Because we're talking about swarm armies. Imperial Guard is the... they like clog it with corpses is the idea, right?
We'll choke their rivers with our dead.
Yeah, and the Tyranids will do that too. They'll throw so many Termagants at a problem that either the problem goes away... or the problem is filled with Termagants. Yeah. Or the problem is filled with corpses of Termagants. And you're like, none of those options are good options.
We just buried them.
The Imperial Guard are very similar. There's so many people in the 41st millennium.
Think early 20th century Russian army.
Yep, commissars are brutal. They will execute people in front of other people to motivate
basically,
other people.
It's a combination of the Chinese army in the 50s and 60s, and to some extent the 40s, and the Russian army in from the 1880s to 1950s.
And it works because there's so many people to throw a problem. It's like it is. It's like we just have so many people. Like,
yeah, and they're all basically idiots.
And
they're not even well trained.
There's like sub races and different races too. Like the Catechins are great assassins. You have the skull mask assassins. What are they called?
That's the Assassinorium.
Yeah, yeah, but they're part of the Imperial Guard as well. Like ish, they kind of do some stuff with it. What is it called? Anyway, there's the Catechins who are like very well trained snipers and assassins. You have Rattlings, which are like a kind of weird halfling, space halfling race.
They cut those out, didn't they?
Ogryn? No, those are still in 40K. They're just
I was thinking about the dwarf, space dwarfs.
Yeah, the space dwarves. I don't remember what those are called.
Yeah, they got rid of those.
The Ogryn are like these big brutish people.
And these are all humans.
Yeah, these are all just weird humans.
They're humans in places that got separated thousands of years ago by the warp. And that have now since come back.
The Imperiums, or the Astra Militarum, as they call them now, are really associated with a lot of the inquisitorial stuff, too, like Ordo Xenos and Ordo Malleus.
Well, and so basically, some of these people, they're basically freaks that changed. Like, they were colonists that ended up on for Ogryn, it was like a super high-gravity world.
Yeah.
And so they straight up evolved. I think they cheated. I think they might have tweaked themselves a little bit, but they basically adapted to tolerating these high gravity places, so they got stocky and they got stronger and they got bigger.
Yep.
And the Rattling guys were some of the Voidborn or something, right? Where it's not like that. They spent too long on their ship, so they all got thin.
Or they never really lived on a planet very long.
Yeah, so they got all thin and ratty.
So you also have
some of the more like natural hive worlds and feral worlds. Some of the Ratmen have come in because they live in swamps.
And they're not like they don't look like rats. They're just rat-like humans.
They're just
like,
they're just thin and wiry.
And so, the other thing you get with any human, even space marines, is psychic powers, psychers. They are vilified, but necessary, like a necessary evil type thing.
Well, there's good reason for that.
Yeah.
Because when they actually do shit, and this was actually very well done in that game that your friend had written.
Yeah, a friend of mine wrote a very, very well, basically someone played a game, one of the 40K games, I think it might have been Dark Heresy.
It was Only War.
Yeah. And which is a tabletop Warhammer 40K game. And
RPG, to be specific. Because tabletop 40K games.
You're right, okay, sorry. Yeah, it's the pen and paper version.
Yeah.
Because it's also an RPG. All of them are RPGs. So... anyway, so it's the pen and paper, you play individual characters as opposed to the whole armies. But this guy wrote, they played a fantastic campaign and he turned it into a story, basically. So he rewrote it all as a story.
Not to get too much into that, though.
But
like, there is one part where they get a couple of psychers with them and they're like, I'm going to try and cast like a lightning bolt at this orc encampment, and they make it rain blood everywhere around them specifically.
To be quite clear, the Emperor is a psyker, but he's a psyker who is made up of all the other pre-psykers of the world before now. And so he's very powerful. He's had a lot of time to control his power and understand what it means to be a psyker. A lot of psykers nowadays either don't know they're psykers, so they just fuck shit up all the time. They are psychers and they don't care that they're fucking shit up all the time, or they're incredibly terrified of their own power.
Because every time you use your psychic powers, you're touching the warp.
Exactly, and that's the key.
And we'll talk about the chaos, I think, probably next time, because this is going to be a three-parter.
We're probably going to go back into the ones we talked about in the first episode. So, Imperial Guard.
Imperial Guard, so they're psychers because humans have a high proclivity towards becoming psychers. Higher than most races. Because of the Emperor.
Exactly. Yeah. And
because he's doing that.
The whole thing with psychers is that the Imperial Guard themselves are in charge of these black ships that go around and collect psychers that then are shipped back to Terra and sacrificed, air quotes, because they're just put in these chairs to give the Emperor
their psychic power.
Yeah, their psychic power. Because the Emperor is now mostly dead because
well, he's 10,000 years old. And
what
he's
happened
rotting
with
on the throne
in the horse heresy, which we can talk about on another podcast. Yeah,
we don't have time for the horsey horsey right now. So basically, so Imperial Guardsman method is to throw a shitload of people at it until it dies.
Yep.
Or retreat.
Lots of like very pretty straightforward like military stuff.
Yeah, and it's, and like you said, the commissars who, if you start retreating, they shoot you.
Yep.
And they do that and they get a morale boost.
Some of the greatest characters in Warhammer 40K mythos are commissars, like Sypheus Kane.
Sypheus Kane is badass.
What's the other guy? There's a...
Yara.
And so you'll notice we're drifting more into actual stories now and less general descriptions. Not to rag on you, but this is where a lot of the lore settles on actual people.
Yeah.
There's not as many novels and stuff written about the orcs or the... Well, there's none written about from the Necron point of view because they don't have a soul or they're barely sentient.
Ooh, one thing I wanted to address about that too is that some of the Necrons are even scarier to fight because every other creature makes a fucking sound when it attacks.
Oh yeah, yes. That's right.
It's a fucking endless army of indestructible warriors that marches and fights in
complete
silence.
Yep,
and that.
Is horrifying.
Settling.
Yeah, you almost wish you could you could deal with an orc with one of their blood curdling screams.
In some
right?
of the Sypheus Kane books, there's Necrons, and they talk about that, and it's kind of cool,
buddy. What is
so
this slowing?
We
down
got Imperial Guards. Imperial Guard is one of the cool races, but that's basically what humans are now. It is oh, part, if you're going to be part of war, part of like the war effort in the 41st millennium, and you're human, you're most likely part of the Imperial Guard.
Yep.
Now, shall we finish with?
Space Marines,
or do you want to do that
no,
later?
No, Space Marines. Space Marines are the natural progression from Imperial Guard.
That's
because,
pretty much how the whole thing started.
Well, yeah. So Space Marines are the ones everyone knows. They're big-ass armored dudes that are walking tanks.
Genetically modified humans, in some cases. In some cases, they're direct descendants of the Emperor.
Yeah, they're clones.
Not all
well,
of them.
Well, okay, initially they were clones.
Yes.
And now some of them are genetic modifications.
A lot of the chapters in the 41st millennium,
but they're
after
so,
the horsey-horsey,
they're very heavily treated.
The gene seed is what makes you into
it. Yeah, but if you think about it, what you're doing is you're changing their DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're kind of still basically clones.
Well, which is one of the great things
GMOs.
About the Space Marines is that, in the lore at least, they made the ultimate sacrifice. Those people who were human and got the were able to like go through the recruitment process,
which is a horrifying surgery.
Oh yeah, and like the training and everything that comes with that, they have to sacrifice their humanity to be the greatest
because
protectors
they are 10 foot tall freaks.
Yeah,
with a whole shitload of extra organs and armor plated rib cages and all kinds of shit.
Acidic spit
and spit acid. And
yeah,
they can eat parts of people to gain their memories for a short time, which is another really just what the fuck thing. Like,
yeah,
they
are
do this?
Fucked up. They're a very very crazy. They're not human. They're basically Space Marines aren't human.
But they're incredibly intelligent.
They're
so,
super. Each one of them is a tactician and a soldier and everything. They are amazing superhumans.
And they get into this in the horsey horsey a lot. If you ever want to read about like Space Marine centric stuff, the horsey horsey is great because it's basically a book on philosophy. The Horus Heresy is what it's called.
Yeah.
It's not called Horus,
the Horus Heresy. The Horus Heresy, which we call the horsey horsey because it's funny. So it's the Horus Heresy is when the Space Marines and the Chaos Space Marines first had their schism.
And it gets into the philosophical aspects of like what it means to be a soldier and what you do when you're done fighting. Like they kind of get into that. So it's kind of interesting from a Space Marine standpoint to read those books because you have these people asking questions that normally aren't asked, and that's interesting. Because the 40K is all about like battle and war.
In the 41st millennium, there is only war.
Exactly.
But then there's also some neat books.
Are you just going to go straight over and see what happens?
Yeah. Oh! I've done this a couple times now, and I haven't quite decided if it's faster, but it's less frustrating.
Last time, but it looks like this might work out for us.
Last time, I think it's because people are having a hard time getting up this hill. Let's see how they do today. Let's watch. Folks at home, I'm just trying to game the traffic system a little bit, because
so Space Marines,
I want to get home.
There's a bunch of different chapters, as they call them. The chapters are different factions of Space Marines. You had clans and hives. Chapters
are 20 legions, and then there are a fucking 100,000 splintered chapters that are based off of those legions.
There you go. What
that
Joe
is
said.
The official.
Okay.
In that, you can always make your own chapter if you're playing the game and do your own color schemes, but they are generally descendants or splintered groups of a previously made. Legion, because there were only 20 Primarchs from which the genes came
from. So, the 20 Primarchs were Clones.
Yes.
Yep. Well, they're direct clones, and they're children of the Emperor.
They're children of the Emperor, so he made them, but he didn't make them with a woman, though.
He made them from himself.
Because but the Emperor is terrified
them.
Of...
No, yeah. No, he changed
speaking of, we should probably stepping back a sec, the, what is it, the fucking Sisters of Battle is an Imperial Guard technical faction. Yeah. They're more associated with that. Basically... females who fight. There's not a lot of females in the human lore, so the Sisters of Battle are where a lot of the females come into it, and they're like these die-hard, fanatic, emperor-loving, like, battle chicks. Amazons, basically.
Yeah. Valkyries.
Valkyries is a good number, too. Yep. Okay, stepping forward back to Space Marine. Sorry,
so we should probably talk briefly about the Emperor.
Okay.
So, who wants to handle that one?
I'm not sure if I think all of our collective knowledge on the Emperor is okay, but I don't think...
I'll lead, and you guys can correct me as I go. So, the Emperor came about... So, okay, this whole thing takes... We call it Warhammer 40K. It's Warhammer 40,000. It takes place in the year 40,000. We're in the year 2000-something. This is 38,000 years in the future. It ostensibly takes place in our universe, in our place.
Yep.
At some point in the future, around the year 30,000, before the Horus Heresy, latent psychic powers were starting to grow in humanity, and we started having these shaman, among other things... Weird shit was starting to happen.
We brushed on this earlier.
Basically, chaos was starting to make its presence known in the universe. Not in a grand way, but in subtle little ways, which was the manifestation of supernatural skills and powers in these psychers.
Yeah.
And as they started to grow, they started to come together and realize that they were part of something bigger, and there was a heralding of something changing. So the kind of fucked up part is a bunch of these shaman got together and killed themselves in a mass suicide cult.
Yeah.
As a result, the Emperor was born. Immediately after that, because all their psychic energy formed into one person at the same time. And then this Emperor who was born grew to be 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's like a Superman.
And is the smartest man who has ever been, the most powerful man who's ever been, mostly.
Ubermensch?
He is the Ubermensch.
Yeah.
He's a very direct physical manifestation of the Nietzschean Ubermensch, which is where I want to at least get some philosophy in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so his existence represents a stepping stone of humanity, and his whole premise of his point, why he wanted to be, the key thing of his existence was to tell us that we can transcend our pitiful, shitty human existence. Because at this point, you're talking, there's 20 billion people on Earth, something like that. It's a shithole. Everyone's crowded. It's awful. It's, you know, it's polluted. And he stepped up and was like, no, guys, we got this. The Earth, we had already spread to other planets, but we had lost track of them. We had no real good records. We had terrible interactions. So he created... methods for interacting with people. He's the one who figured out the Astronomicon,
which
I think before he died, he had that worked out.
Which is the way that people travel through space
through the warp. Yeah.
And this was the golden age,
and he was trying to make everybody like him. He wanted everyone to become better because he kept saying over and over again, "I am no god. I am but a man, and I am the next step of mankind. You can too." And that was his whole thing: was like, become better, become the next level of humanity. Step up, get good scrub. And he had to fight a lot of people to get that to work. He basically had to bash and crash his way through Earth and every other human planet to build the Imperium. With his proto-space marines that he had early on and the robots that they built first, that's the reason they don't do robots anymore because that went south. But he basically built these people and found that people weren't really willing to participate in it as much, so he decided he was going to build his own army and not rely on humanity, so he built the Primarchs. He created these 20 people as copies of himself with changes. He made them all a little different because he said adaptability is key. I am not perfect. I am but the next step. There needs to be more steps.
And this is where shit gets real.
Basically, this is where he built these legions. They built more legions. They started cloning themselves. And then so
spread the Primarchs around the universe.
Yes, that's right.
Chaos stepped in. Took the Primarchs and scattered them across the sky.
Some of them. This is while the Great Scourge or the Great Crusade's happening, right?
This was before.
There's
Great Crusade.
There's three Great Crusades, I think, right?
Well, because there's still a part where he was the Emperor before he did that. And he wasn't just the Emperor of Earth. He was the Emperor of a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the Great Crusades happened, and then he started building the better version of the Space Marines because the human ones were piddly.
Right. And the Primarchs are part of the second, I believe, Crusade.
And so he did that, and that's where Chaos kicked him in the dick and spread
they're
them
like,
all over.
No,
and the second Crusade
now.
Was them trying to find the Primarchs, I believe.
Yes,
and
because these warp storms...
And he found most of them.
He found most of them, not all.
Even his greatest son, Horsey. Or
Horus.
Horsey. Okay.
Horus was his greatest son. And at one point, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. The Horus Heresy was a very busy time. There's lots of novels and interesting stuff, and I'm not an expert on that.
Nope.
And I don't really want to sink in too much into it because we only have a few more minutes.
But that's, yeah.
So basically what happened was, as the Empire, this is the golden age of technology, they're building giant walking cities capable of destroying planets. They're building massive ships. People are not nearly as shitty as they could be. It's still shitty in places, but this is the golden age of humanity. This is the age of enlightenment. People know language, they know science, they know philosophy. Everyone is beautiful. It's great.
At this point, chaos decides.
At this point, chaos says, hey, I'm going to put my dick in that.
Influences Horus, starts a massive civil war between humanity and space marines and everybody. And ends up killing mostly the Emperor.
Well, for one...
Okay, so let's... Basically what happens is...
I'm assuming we're going to gloss over a lot of...
Yeah, we're going to jump over the details of all of the Horus and the wolves and all that.
No. I just wanted to say, it's like one of the critical points was that the Emperor stopped leading the campaign and gave the reins over to Horus.
So Horus was leading.
He became War Master.
And Horus is the one who was touched by chaos, or influenced by chaos, to betray the Emperor.
Dude, buddy.
And that is exactly, like, the point at which chaos has made itself known in the real world. Like, the whole Abaddon, who's Horus's, like, right-hand man. So Abaddon took over chaos after Horus died fighting the Emperor on Terra, which is, you know, Earth now. So the Emperor kills Horus, but Horus is mortally wounded.
Basically what happens is it all comes to a horrible end. The Emperor is just about dead, but they managed to strap him up to this fantastic life machine, a life support machine called the Golden Throne, which is what becomes the Astronomicon, which they can use as the beacon to travel the warp.
And
they maintain the Emperor in a state of near death.
So for a million years...
10,000 years.
Or 10,000 years? A trillion years. 9 billion years.
More than a year.
Humanity has existed without the Emperor's guidance, per se.
But except he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there. And this is like... So everything that happens in 40K
has transpired now... according to my...
is doing it 10,000 years after the Horus Heresy.
Even while that was happening after the... Well, during the Horus Heresy was when the Ecclesiarchy came to be.
Yeah.
And they started that was a big deifying... thing too.
And they basically said that he became... Mankind. Yeah, he stopped being so the big dude and became the God Emperor, which he hated and fought against, but they kept worshiping
him. And they actually, during the Horus Heresy, were going to planets where they believed he was the Emperor, where he was a god, and being like, that was me slapping people.
Yeah.
No.
I am not a god. I am a man. You are a man.
His
Step
space
up.
Marines, Loken, and all these space marines that are going on this crusade are like, you cannot do this. Like, this, the Emperor spent so many years getting rid of religion. You can't start it up again just because he's not here right now. Like,
and so, long story short, 10,000 years later, it's all religion. They worship him as a god. Religion. There's no knowledge, and not to rag on religion too much, but it's the worst kind. It's the ignorant-based one. They have no... They hate foreign people. They hate anyone from another dimension or planet, whatever. They hate everything. They don't even know how the technology that they use works. So they rely on nothing. They rely on the fact that it's still there. That's all they have. They don't know anything. They use the automated forge worlds for everything. It's basically the worst form of idiocracy. Yep.
So the Emperor was a man who wanted to... not be a god, who ended up being a god after he died.
Which is just the most tragic part.
And then next time we'll talk about the Space Marines and Chaos and get into
Adeptus Mechanicus.
Adeptus Mechanicus as well.
So this is Sitsak.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
And my name is Jeremy.
Jeremy Kendrick Jeremy's.
Yeah, I got a lot of Jeremy's in my name.
Go fuck yourself.
Whoa!
Go, Joe got it.